Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right. Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, a soldier in arms, a comrade in battle in this war with you, Sean Kwali, broadcasting, coming to you live from the hells and smells of North America with another power-packed presentation of this platform that we know of as Black Power Radio. It's an honor, a privilege, a joy to be talking to you, our faithful radio listening audience, that are here with us in the hills and smells and those abroad across the waters of the Atlantic and the Pacific. We are honored to talk to you tonight and honored to be able to represent to you the duties of the revolutionary, the most bold, the most courageous, the most frontline soldiers anywhere to be found, anywhere in the hills and smells of North America, the platform and position of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We are also especially honored and esteemed to be able to bring to you tonight our dear brother and champion and our courageous freedom fighter and the man who ain't taking no mess, but he's definitely not stressed over none of the tests. I'm talking about our warrior lawyer and five-star general and commander. We're talking about Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who will be joining us tonight. He'll be with us tonight for Black Power Radio. He'll be dropping some jewels on you, as the gods say, dropping the jewels on you. And also, he'll be fielding your questions, if you have any. And hopefully you have many. There's a lot to talk about. And so we'll be getting right into that. Hang tight.
until the philosophy which holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, Mr. War, that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, this a war, that until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality, will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued, but never attained. Now everywhere is...
All right, and Black Power, Black Power, my dear family, that was... Just as the general checking in himself and making sure that all the everything was right and exact. And so, again, it is our honor. We'll be talking with the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We want to say, tell a neighbor, tell a friend. We don't want to say, hi to your wife and hi to your daughter. We want to say, tell your wife, tell your daughter. We want to say, tell your family members to tune in to Black Power Radio. The call-in number tonight to get you the air will be 646-478-4447. Again, that's 646-478-4447. Buckle your seatbelts. Buckle in tight. We're also supposed to be joined tonight. We're going to be joined tonight by a brother who just hosted the national chairman, or some brothers who just hosted on the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party in Jacksonville, Florida. For those of you who happen to read the Jacksonville Sentinel and you read the blogs that were being written in the area of Jacksonville, you know that the beast was fired up. The beast was pissed. The beast was upset. And we want to give a mighty Black Power salute and congratulations for the comrades in Jacksonville and really the state of Florida for upsetting them devils and upsetting the beast. We appreciate you and your work, and we honor you. We're going to be joined by the Jacksonville chapter chairman down there in mighty Jacksonville, Florida, our brother Mateo Sharif. And we're going to be also joined by a comrade of ours, our dear brother, Brother James. Brother James is going to be on live with us as well. And so it's a beautiful time, a beautiful experience we're having tonight. And we're having a Black Power, Blacktastic time. Let's see right now if our dear brother, Brother McCann is on with us. 904, let's see if he's on the air with us.
Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. How are you, sir?
Brother, I'm just strong and black tonight.
Strong? Man, you're a deadly combination. You strong and black, man. I want to
yes,
say
sir.
To you, congratulations, brother. Congratulations. The Black Power salute that goes out to you and goes out to the state of Florida and primarily Jacksonville chapter for having the five-star general, attorney at war and commander, down there with you all, giving the beast hell. We want to say congratulations. How do you feel, black man?
Brother, I feel wonderful and strong, brother, and I'm honored to have hosted the strongest black revolutionary leader in America at this present time, brother, and just rejuvenated, energized, and just ready to go work, brother, and resurrect the dead black man and dead black woman, brother. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So tell us what the event was like. Where did you all have the event? What went into it? Kind of talk to us about it, because I know that from what I heard and from what you was telling me, that Jacksonville, they don't want strong black leadership. They can deal with some leadership that's bourgeoisie or milquetoast and watered down, but they don't want no strong black coffee, you know, 100% black man and black woman in that area. And so kind of tell us how it went and what went into it. How did you open
up? What happened, brother, basically I had reached out to different black ministers. Everybody had turned the chairman down, saying that it wouldn't be a wise thing to bring him in the city. But I have a relationship with a Muslim brother who's a member of the NOI, the Nation of Islam, and his father is a black pastor who once was affiliated with the original Black Panther Party back in the 1960s. And he formed a group called the Florida Black Front. And so we built the relationship, and I told him that I was trying to find a venue to bring the national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, to the city of Jacksonville. So we agreed on a day and time, and we went to work, brother. We just put out flyers and went in different areas of Jacksonville, and the youth were very interested in the message, brother. Right now in this city is a void of strong black leadership beside myself and Brother James and maybe one or two others besides Pastor Levy Wilcox. And so as we pumped the program, people started calling and, you know, wanting to inquire why would the chairman want to come to Jacksonville. This is a great city. Blacks and whites get along very well together, but we know better, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, we know better. The wool is over our eyes by any stretch of the imagination. And so with all that said, how was our national chairman received?
It being turned down
by those who had buck dance and was afraid they was going to lose their stand on the plantation. How was he received?
When he got to the city of Jacksonville, brother, we was at the airport. Black people were recognizing the chairman. They knew who he was. And you would think because we down at the bottom, brother, we call the South the bottom, and Florida is definitely the bottom, that people are not conscious, but people are becoming awakened, brother, to the black struggle, the black liberation movement. And definitely they are becoming more acquainted with the new Black Panther Party up under the leadership of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. So when we picked them up at the airport and got to the
All right, Mikhail Sharif, you still on with us? I think Brother Mikhail spitting so much fire, Brother Mikhail died online, couldn't take it. Mikhail Sharif, check this out. Give us a call back. Call us black in. If your line disconnect, we'll put you right back on. And
okay.
So we want to pick up with Mikhail Sharif because he's at a point now. He's telling us about when they were at the airport and our people began to see the national chairman come into the airport. And so I believe Brother Mikhail is back on. Brother Mikhail, you on with us now? Okay, Mikhail Sharif having some issues with his connection. He'll call us back in. But I'm just trying to get you, a listening audience, to pay attention and to listen to how the Panther is received. We got to give you the proper propaganda. Okay, we got our dear brother back on with us now. Brother Mikhail, you on with us?
Yes, sir. I'm black.
Okay, black power. So you were right there talking about when you were at the airport and the people were beginning to see the national chairman. Go from there.
Yes, sir. So after we had a slight delay, we got to the church, and there was really nowhere to park. You know, we had to create a little space. So when the chairman got out of the car, the media jumped all on top of him. You have to understand, brother, we deep south here. And the last
brother
time we
hold 1 second, you kind of got some interference with your line. When you talk, your line is going in and out. I don't know if it's
okay. You hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, you have to understand that we haven't had a strong black leader come to the city since the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and prior to him, H. Rep Brown came to Jacksonville. So the chairman coming here, brother, at a very critical time in the black liberation struggle for black people, what had happened, there was a young black woman who had been kidnapped by a black male, and the police didn't respond properly. They got the information from a witness that someone had been kidnapped, her shoes fell off, and they drugged her in the car. And so the police didn't even file a report. They didn't file a report. And what happened, the sheriff, the racist redneck sheriff in Jacksonville, Rutherford, came up under a lot of criticism. So the new Black Panther Party, we went on a search and rescue mission for the young lady, but later on it was found that she had been murdered. And so the chairman coming in at a time like that, it put the city on edge. And so they wanted to know what the chairman was going to say about this case with the police department. And so when the chairman stepped in, the audience was on edge. They had been waiting. We had a slight delay, like I said before. And the chairman got up and he dropped it, brother, and the people received him well. They wanted him to come back to the city. We have a big church where a pastor now says, man, you should have called me. I would have let the chairman come here. And the atmosphere, brother, it was energetic. Our people, you know, was, you know, they was on the edge of their seats, and the chairman brought the message, revolution is the only solution.
That's yes, right. Sir. That's right. In the spirit of the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, holding the line.
And yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about, brother. And your phone was kind of going in and out, but you was making a mention of Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly known as H.Y. Brown. What was you saying to that effect?
Well, he came here in the 1960s. And when he came, the police department, the mayor, they all were on edge, brother. They thought that H. Rep. Brown's words would spark a revolution in the city of Jacksonville. So they was able to put that fire out, brother. But this time,
it's doing the same thing. I don't know if you got a window down, Mikhail, or what's happening, Black. Maybe you're just spitting so much fire, the enemy don't want you to get this out to your mouth. We try to get this out.
Okay.
But if you got a window rolled down, maybe roll the window up. Or just maybe come
okay,
back up a little bit.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Help.
Do you hear me well
right
now?
Ahead. Yes, sir. Go right ahead, my dear brother.
Okay. You hear me well, brother?
Yes, sir. I can hear you
okay.
Now.
Okay. All right. So, as I was saying, the chairman coming here, brother, really caused a lot of conversation about why do we need that type of Black leadership in the city of Jacksonville. The Panther Party has a track record of dividing and conquering our people. And so it is what it is, but the chairman has been received in the city. Our people are seeking and searching for strong Black leadership. But unfortunately, there ain't but a handful, brother.
Just like you say, just a few digits left on the Black fist.
Yes,
on
sir.
The Black that's holding the line, and I'm proud to say, too proud to say, I'm you know, we're in that number, so I ain't mad about it.
As well, the pastor came up under a lot of condemnation and attacks for opening up his church to a so-called hate leader. You know, so the enemy now is saying that the chairman is a hate leader because he's coming to wake up the dead. You know,
did you let me ask you, because you were there, and
yes,
the Pastor Levy was there. Did you all hear a hate message?
No, sir, brother. As I said before, the message was revolution is the only solution. And our people really loved that message. They had not heard something of such magnitude that would liberate their minds and inspire them to take the fear out of their hearts and souls. So I was honored to be with this strong Black revolutionary lawyer, brother. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, brother. Mikhail, tell us a little bit about yourself, sir. How did you begin with the new Black Panther Party, and tell us, you know, what kind of journey it's been for you?
Well, in the year 2004, being a member of the Nation of Islam at the time, the NOI, like many brothers, I was just sitting up in the mosque collecting dust and rust and just withering away. And I heard Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz in Chicago, Illinois, speaking at the mosque. And He said that everybody can't be in the NOI. There's a place for everybody, and the Panther Party may be an option. And when I heard the chairman, and he say he was affiliated with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, our late but great Black Power General, I say, this is what I've been looking for. And so I got in touch with a brother in Atlanta, and I started the process of learning about the Black Liberation Movement. And in the year 2005, we had the 10-year anniversary of the Million Moors Movement. And I went to Washington, D.C., and I met the chairman and told him I was interested in becoming a soldier in the ranks of the new Black Panther Party. And he told me he didn't need a soldier. He needed some good men to lead. And never been in leadership, that was over my head at the time. But eventually I convinced myself I had made the right move. And after I got back from Washington, D.C., I started working on the behalf of the new Black Panther Party, going out in the community, speaking at different forums, different street rallies and events. And from that moment, put the new Black Panther Party's name in the city of Jacksonville on the hearts and minds of our people.
Yes, sir. And so I can tell by listening to you that it's been a rewarding experience.
Oh, definitely, brother. Not without its trials and tribulations, you know, but even still, it's an honor to be able to serve up under the banner of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and the Honorable Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And
yeah, buddy, your line is just acting.
Break it
up
again? Okay, well, I tell you what, brother, give me a split second. I'll relocate myself, and we'll go from there.
Let's do that.
Brother, you hear me now?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. I can hear you. Just what it is when you get into the history, into the fire, your words are going in and out like they're being blocked by something.
Okay.
So I don't want to miss nothing that you're saying, Black man.
Okay, well,
nothing that you're saying. So if you got it, relocate, go right ahead, because we want you.
All right.
Also, well, Brother James.
Okay, you hear me now, Brother Sean?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
All right, and so I was just saying that it's from listening to you, it sounds like it's been a pretty rewarding experience for you in the party.
Oh, definitely, brother. The new Black Panther Party had never had a base in the state of Florida. We had one brother down in Miami, but beyond that, the Black Panther Party was basically known as a movement on the East Coast, either out of the southern region, Atlanta, Georgia area. And so when we first started working here and building, it was just myself. For about a year, I didn't try to do any recruiting. I basically just put the organization's name in the minds and hearts of Black people and put the city of Jacksonville on notice that the Black Panther Party was working.
That's what I'm talking about. And so you really like a founding, you and the staff are like founding members there in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir. I was the founding member, the first founding member. Everybody thought that it was just a flash in the pan. All the Black Panther Party is going to just come in
still,
and fade
still
away.
Still messing up, Brother McHale. I'm going to tell you, Brother McHale, we're going to have to bring you all the way back on Black Power Radio just to give you your own segment so that you can get this message out. I don't know what's going on with your line. Me and you talk all day. With
yes,
no
sir.
Brother, the radio has some issues.
Brother Sean?
Yes, I can hear you now. I don't know if it's just your microphone or what it is.
I went on intercom, so maybe it'll help.
All right.
Okay, you hear me well?
Yes, sir, I can hear you a little better now. Finish what you were saying, sir.
So what happened, I just basically went out in the community and spoke at different events and took a position on current events in the city of Jacksonville. And so slowly but surely, people started taking the movement seriously here. And what happened in the year 2007, I was arrested. Me and Brother James got involved in a police shooting where a young man was killed, and they framed him and said he had a weapon, but he only had a cell phone. And so I took a very strong position against the police department, and maybe about 2 weeks later, they shot another black male, and they was doing a drug sting. And so I took a stronger position on that black people have a right to defend and protect themselves. And so that shook the city of Jacksonville. And so they came after me very hard. And probably a week after that, they came to my job and arrested me on an old charge that dating back 7 years ago that I never completed my probation. But had I had a warrant on me, how have I been able to leave America and come back on several occasions and wearing the name Mikhail Sharif Muhammad? So we know they had just basically went to the judge and asked him to bring a new warrant out against me, because after I made comments, there were several shootings of police officers' cars and their homes. I was saying that we had a right to defend and protect ourselves, and some of the brothers took it personally. And so after that, they came after me, arrested me, and, you know, but yet I stood the test of time. I stood on my post, even though I didn't have any soldiers around me that were street soldiers, you know. And so I think the police department was very concerned about my words sparking a revolution in this city.
Not only your word, but your actions as well. And so,
yes,
you know, that's it. The people are taking the revolutionary example, and it's good to see now that the Jacksonville is coming alive with the spirit of a black revolution and black liberation. And you have you and the staff there have a major, major part to play with that, brother.
Well, brother, I'm honored. And
so in closing, because we want to bring on Brother James,
sir,
what can we look forward to in the near future from Jacksonville and our dear brother Mikhail Sharif?
Bigger and better things. Like recently we were involved in the Martin Luther King Parade, and that was historic because the Panther Party had never been involved in the Martin Luther King Parade in the state of Florida, nor Jacksonville. So our very presence, we didn't have to say anything, just marching. It shook the city again, and there were many that were attacking the Panther Party, attacking the board of directors for the Martin Luther King Foundation, and saying that we should never have been allowed to participate in Martin Luther King. He was a nonviolent man, and what are you doing allowing the Black Panther Party, whose leaders aspire to advocate violent retaliation against the police department, who are considered to be a hate and terrorist group, which we know we're not. And, you know, so when the chairman came, they was already upset about our presence in this march. And so the chairman just took it to another level. And, brother, I can say this to all of our people, that pay attention to the South, pay attention to Florida, because our people here have been at the bottom of the barrel for so long, but they're looking for a way out, and they're looking for strong black leadership. So this is a base, and from Jacksonville, we're going to build up the state of Florida and make Florida second to none, brother. I envision at the end of this year we will have several chapters up and running, brother.
Well, we're definitely going to check back with you and check in on your progress, and we look forward to seeing all of your activities and pictures up on our websites and our national New Black Panther Facebooks, and so we look forward to keeping up with your progress and keeping up with you, brother, because we see that you're on the rise, brother, a rising star in our black nation.
Well, thank you, brother, and I just want to give a shout-out to the Black Power Nation, and we must become recommitted to the struggle of what Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad started, and we must assist our national chairman and attorney, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, as well as our National Central Committee. Black power.
Black power, black power. And brothers and sisters, that's what I'm talking about. That's Mikhail Sharif. If you don't know Brother Mikhail Sharif, get to know him immediately. You know what I mean? Get to know him immediately. Send us an email at nbphq@yahoo.com if you're anywhere near the Florida area, especially Jacksonville. We'll put you in contact with Brother Mikhail Sharif and the staff that's there, and get you immediately signed up to do something for yourself, for the community, and for the future and destiny of black people, because as my brother said, we the last remaining pro-black group standing. And so we want to definitely go into it with another comrade of ours who was there, instrumental and inspirational there in Jacksonville. And so I guess we said we lost my brother. We lost dear brother, but Brother James. Brother James Muhammad, if you're listening, dear brother, call back in. We lost Brother James. And it's all right. Brother McKay, you still on here?
As-salamu alaykum. Can you hear me?
It's Brother James.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam. Black power, comrade. How are you, sir?
Black power, brother. Black power. All praises due to Allah.
All praise is due to Allah. But it's an honor and a privilege and a joy to have you with us on Black Power Radio. And we just wanted you to kind of come on and share with us your experience down there in Jacksonville, in the swampy swamplands and the concrete jungle of Jacksonville, and kind of tell us how it was for you this weekend up there with the national chairman, what you experienced and what you got going on.
Brother, to God be the glory. All praises due to Allah. It is not only an honor, it's a pleasure to be on this line, brother, with the brothers and the sisters who are listening diligently, as Brother Mikhail and I have built a beautiful relationship over a number of years, and have worked diligently, as the brother indicated to you, on several cases here, battling injustice with police brutality, battling cases where brothers have been shot and killed out here, battling cases where we've gone to the front line to go to West Virginia with Brother Malik, making trips to Atlanta. But it's truly an honor to be anywhere where the chairman is for the new Black Panther Party, the brother who we know, he's considered a son of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So this was truly, truly an honor. As I was the moderator of the event this week, the people were just up in arms. They were waiting. You could feel the electricity in the air. And as the program went on and on, I said, man, they're waiting for the chairman. They're waiting to see the national leader of the new party, the media itself, brother, was just, you could just feel the electricity in there. Durella.
Yes, sir, my brother. Was this your first time hearing the national chairman, Dr. Tony Malik, who was your Bob? Had you heard him before?
No, sir, brother. No, so you ain't even remember. Like I said, I've been involved with Brother Malik and the new Black Panther Party at many events. One of the roles that I'm taking on is going to be the new Black Power movement, which will be those who can't handle, are not really strong enough, I wouldn't say strong enough, but not in the military uniform, but those who are educators, those who are community leaders, those who are maybe even black politicians, who will stand behind the cause and the mission of the new Black Panther Party, but headed up through the Black Power movement here in Jacksonville. This is not my first interaction, brother. Like I said, I've been following working with Lee and Brother McHale for a period of time. One of my other opportunities I had to work with brother was when we were in West Virginia. I think that was our first time working together. You may remember Megan Williams, the sister that was raped by the devils there in West Virginia. And we had to go get the devil's heads. And as you see, Brother Malik made sure there was some justice that was done in that city. Black Power. But nonetheless, that was my first encounter, and after that, we just continue to work, and build, brother.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, brother. Kind of talk to us about the state of Florida and Jacksonville. I mean, I know for a record that the condition of the black man and woman is the same all over, but kind of tell us what you experienced, especially being a soldier and on the ground, brother. Kind of tell us what you see on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I'll say this to brother. I thank Brother Malik, national chairman, for coming, because one of the things that he was able to address here, I'm an educator. I'm working out here in the killing fields of North America, the United Snakes, what they call the plantation of miseducation of our babies' minds. And I'm a following leader of Elijah Muhammad, where people never treated you right will never teach you right. And so that's always been my stance, but because we have to work within the system and our people have hope, we have to be there as a savior for them. So Malik came, one of the issues him and I had a chance to talk about was about the fact that the educational system here is so destitute, it's so terrible, and it's like that all across America, where like I say, last hire but first fire, but yet alone they still make money on the backs of our children through the schools, what we call the school-to-prison pipeline. So what I'm seeing out here every day, brother, is the fact that you are, we're dealing with this issue of poverty. We're dealing with this issue of unemployment. Our children, our babies, and I'm an educator, I speak to that specifically. Our children are being raised by their aunties, by their grandparents, by their great-grandparents. Some of them are being raised by their brothers and sisters who are only 2 or 3 years older than they are. In some cases, they're living with their cousins. I know some men who are living in shelters, but they come to school every day trying to seek the dream in the United Snakes of America. But they don't find no dream, brother. All they do is find nightmare. So, you know, like anywhere else, our children, they're going to find a way to survive. They have no fear of the police here, just like in many other cities. They have no fear of the police. They have no fear of the educators. They have no fear when you're already down at the bottom of the barrel and you're looking up, what else do you have to lose? So that's the spirit of our people out here. They feel hopeless. They feel disenfranchised. And so the Black Power movement that Malik has talked about and the new Black Panther Party, we have a lot of work to do, especially in Jacksonville, to raise our children up. If we don't raise them up, the devil will, what they call, use this trichnology to infect their mind, to make them think they're getting something. And you know, if you're in the Nation of Islam, and you know our teaching, what does it say? Why do we love the devil? Because he gives us nothing. And that's just what happens here in America, right here in Jacksonville. Our children love the devil because they give them nothing. So we got to get their minds back and get the spirit and get their bodies and get their souls back to being black. What is there? People who don't know who they are, don't know where they're going, or fall for anything. And that's what's happening out here. So I don't want to belabor the point. It was just a pleasure to be with the chairman of the New Black Panther Party. Oh, and don't forget our brother was here. Our brother, Imam. Let me make sure I get my brother's name right. The Imam, what's the brother's last name, dear brother? That's always with that chairman.
Talking about Imam Akbar Bilal Kareem.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Imam Akbar. Imam Akbar. Man, that brother has a beautiful spirit. I think he was a little tired. I think the league wore him out. He had to hit the sack early. And we were still working to strategize of what we're going to do here in Jacksonville. Brother Malik had to kick us out. I said, brother, we don't want to go. We want to keep strategizing at 2 o'clock in the morning. We want to continue the plan. He said, brother, I got to get some sleep. But I just want to say that, brother, those two brothers are a team. It was truly a pleasure. I'm still hyped. My spirit and energy is still high. I mean, I know when I walked in this morning, I know if one of the, if the devil even approached me, he melted. His hands burnt off. Well, you can get within 10 feet. My spirit is still high from the chairman being here, brother. Allahu Akbar.
That's what I'm talking about. That's his brother said the devil touched him, his hand gonna burn off. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm like talking that, about it, to me, this devil's hand gonna burn right off.
In final question, because we expect the chairman in about 4 minutes or so. And so I just want to ask you, what would you like to see with the Black Power movement there in Jacksonville, and how can people help you in the movement, or whether they be there, the members of the Nation of Islam there, or the brothers and sisters who are Hebrew, or the Christian community, or those who may not have any religious persuasion, how can they help you and us with the Black Power movement there in Jacksonville?
What I see is, brother, really moving toward a real, sincere, honest relationship. We had a meeting tonight at the First Coast Coalition. Pastor Lee Wilcox, who hosted the event, and because he hosted the event, I mean, that was truly, truly an honor. So the brothers from the Nation came after FOI class. I came after coming from a board meeting. I would like to see us build truly honest work relationships and keeping our children at the front, knowing that we're building not a legacy, but building a dynasty. We're building something for the future. And we're going to have to work together. We're going to have to get our black politicians. And if their mind is not right, we're going to have to make it right. You know, there's a movie called The Drop Squad. You may have seen it a while back. We might have to drop in on them, pay them a visit, have to wake them up. They've been sleeping too long. So we got to get our politicians, our black politicians, okay? We got to get our black ministers and our pastors, our preachers, the Nation of Islam. We got to get our black children. We're going to have to go into the schools and let them know that these are our children. These are not your children. These are our babies. and you will not mistreat them. You will not hurt them. You will make sure they get what they need. And if there's a problem, we'll deal with that. And I'm not saying that, brother, in a rhetoric form. It's so important that we organize, energize, and mobilize for whatever we what is it that we need to do, and set some clear agenda and some objectives. And I'd like to see us, as Brother Malik, always have the Black Power Conference, have some what we call local or regional and district Black Power Conference, invite people and organize to take back our communities, help our people secure housing, help our people secure investments. You know, Elijah Muhammad talked about us having land. We have to have these resources. And the most important thing is we're going to have to build, like I said in the beginning, honest trust relationships and not let willingness continue to divide us. That's what I see, brother. Black power. Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir, my brother. Yes, sir. We was having some technical issues there. You can be heard, definitely.
Yes, sir. I hope that what I said is, I hope it will inspire some to give us a call. I'm going to give you my number as well. It's 904-613-0729. That's 904-613-0729. Anyone have any ideas, suggestions to help us move forward? Brother McKell and I work very close together. We're already working on planning our next event, our next town hall meeting, getting out here and working and mobilizing our people. So you can reach either one of us. We both were sharing and the knowledge of wealth in the world.
Yes, sir. Do you have an email there, brother?
Yes, sir. Email is James Teacher. James Teacher. Since I'm an educator, simple. James Teacher at bellsouth.net.
That's what I'm
James Teacher
about.
At bellsouth.net.
Yes, sir, my brother. We look forward to doing much work with you here in the near future. And I do want to say on behalf of Dr. Attorney Malik Shabazz, our national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, that we appreciate your spirit and your willingness to get involved in the educational killing fields and to get involved with the destiny of our people. We appreciate you and love you, black man.
Thank you, dear brother. I just got to tell you something that happened. It was kind of funny. I was at one of the events, Malik. I said, man, I said, Brother Malik, I want a Black Panther suit, brother. I want to be in the Black Panther outfit. He said, brother, you can get all that suit, but I got a job for you. He said, brother, he said, I want you to head up the Black Power Movement in Jacksonville. I said, what can I say? But yes, sir, all praises to our Black Power.
Yes, sir. I mean, when you hear the God talking through a black man, what can you do but submit and salute? Absolutely.
That's that black guy.
Brother James, man, go right ahead. Let me cut you off.
No, sir, brother. I was just giving praise and honor.
All praise is due to the one God. My brother James, we love you, black man. We say salam alaikum to you. We want to introduce and bring on our national chairman, but brother, keep on fighting, keep struggling, and anytime that you need us, brother, hit us up. Hit us up ASAP.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam, and thank you again, brother, for inviting me on.
You're very, very welcome. My family, that is our dear brother, Brother James. Brother James is rolling, heading up. He's pushing in with the Black Power Movement there in Jacksonville, Florida, working hand in hand with our chairman down there, Brother Mikhail Sharif. We're just giving you examples that this is possible, that if you, admire the works of those in the past, that, you know, you don't have to look so far back, but you can look right here in your face in 2011 with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and the Black Power Movement. And I know now that we have the five-star general on the line, the number one commander of the new Black Panther Party. For those of you all who don't know, he is the national representative of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, a straight soldier who organized on the campus of Howard University Got his law degree. He also founded Black Lawyers for Justice. He's a man who rolled with the Black Power General for 13 straight years. 13 straight years organizing and setting up speaking engagements and Black Holocaust conferences, moving on to become the National Youth Director and Legal Counsel for the Black Power General and the Million Youth March in 1998, 1999 in Harlem. And again, won plenty of victories all through Jasper, Texas in 98 and was picked in 99 to be the national spokesman for the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Became a key strategist and then became Young Lawyer of the Year by the National Bar Association. To this very day, he runs a successful legal practice, ran twice, I'm going to say it again, ran twice in D.C. for city council. And again, right now, today, he's still on the scene organizing, crisscrossing not only the country, but crisscrossing the globe. It is my honor, my privilege, my esteemed joy to present to some and to reintroduce to others our national chairman, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is doctor and attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, sir.
And so I would just quickly give honor to God, our forefathers, and to thank that God for all of the ancestors who have come in the line of divine, and to thank that God for giving to us a bold, bald-headed Black man, a serious and committed revolutionary and freedom fighter for our people, my mentor, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And I want to, first of all, thank you, our national spokesman who has been doing a great job, Minister Sean Quali. Want to thank you and to thank your queen, the national assistant, Sister Amira Sankoa. To thank Minister Mikhail Muhammad of Jacksonville, Florida, and Minister James Muhammad of Jacksonville, Florida, and Minister Akbar Abdul Karim Bilal, my trusted assistant and the National Minister of Justice. I want to thank all of those who are in the new Black Panther Party who have been carrying out the righteous instructions that you have been given and who have been working hard to fulfill our vision. And so I'm going to just open up for questions tonight. I'm not going to give a lecture. I have not been on the radio intentionally for several weeks. I have been off Facebook intentionally for several weeks, but I have been working. I just came back. I was blessed by God to be in Jacksonville and to be a part of the new Black Panther Party and the Black Power Movement, and with Pastor Levi and others there, and other activists, including the Nation of Islam and others in the Black community there, who are fighting on the front lines in Duval County and fighting conspiracies to shut down Black schools, tricks and games being played by the racist white power structure in Jacksonville, fighting a whole host of issues, police brutality issues, black-on-black violence issues. And so I was blessed to go in and to, again, try to organize and stand up and build a coalition in another town. And we were blessed to be successful. Again, I thank Minister Mikhail Muhammad. I thank Brother James Muhammad. I thank all of those who I was with and the Jacksonville members of the new Black Panther Party. For these brothers and sisters can be trusted that when we go in and organize a town, they won't let you down. They will take the momentum that we build and the effort that we put in, and they will produce even better results in the future, which gives me the ability to rest and be less stressed. One thing I hate is going into a town and doing hell of a organizing and setting things up. And then when I leave out, some, certainly not all, but some just don't seem to have it together and can't carry it out. But anyway, I'm in a good mood. I'll crack down on that which needs to be cracked down on tonight, but I do want to bring the good news. I am in a good mood. I am happy. I have stayed away intentionally because I don't like talking a lot. Just talk, talk, talk. I'm not knocking those that have to talk, but I need to talk when I need to talk. I've been around this movement now for a while, and this is a very serious year for me. Every day is serious. Every hour is serious. And even though it's the devil's new year, he sets the years. Sometimes we just have to go by the cracker's calendar. And so I'm still in that resolute mindset and a resolution-type mindset to be able to be a better, stronger, more effective attorney, a better, stronger, more effective servant and leader of our people and our organization, and certainly taking time out to pray and to meditate, certainly taking time out to reflect on where I am in life and where I must go, certainly been taking time out to exercise, run and box, push-ups, and all of that. In better shape now than I've been in damn near 17 years or 18 years by God's grace. And so I'm just making moves to be a better fighter and a better helper. And then I'll have much more to say. But right now I'm building the internal foundation here that will help me to help the new Black Panther Party and the movement. Because what I've been telling y'all all along is that this movement and building a movement is the key to our success. And all you have to do is take a look right over there in Egypt, and you will see that the strategies and the tactics and the advice that I've been giving y'all for years now, that if you will take that advice and take that strategy and take these tactics of building a movement, that a movement will be the base of a revolution that will upturn, uproot, and overthrow all that which is in our path. Revolution is in the air. Revolution is in the earth. Revolution is in the divine order of Ma'at. And revolution is going to break out. The people are dissatisfied. And so I'm praying that the new Black Panther Party wake up fast in a hurry, and that the more effective ones amongst you, the stronger ones amongst you, the wiser of those amongst you, and those that will listen amongst you will hear this cry and hear this plea that I am putting out for you tonight to build a Black Power movement and to build a movement to reach our people wherever they are, so that when the revolution break out, the Panther will be right where it's supposed to be, not left behind, but right in the middle of it, and hopefully the vanguard. Hopefully the vanguard. So I'm in a good mood because I see the signs that that could take place in Jacksonville. I came from Atlanta in December, and I'm hoping we can get back to where we're supposed to be in Atlanta, doing what we're supposed to do. Unless we have hard heads. Hard head makes soft behind. And in New York, have many things we need to be doing in New York. If I can get some capable soldiers, really not soldiers, I want to say soldiers and organizers. We need soldiers. We need an army. We need defense. We need security. We need guns. We need all of that. Of course, we need that. That's what you build an organization around, a militant organization. And that's the vanguard defense of a movement. But without a movement and a political movement, a political strategy that reaches the masses, then you just have a little small army. So I want to thank those that have been working out there and traveling in the Panther Party and doing the work. say that. It's a great year. Revolution is breaking out on the earth. I'm excited. I'm working on myself because I never getting to the point where I think that so much of myself, where I know that I can improve, I believe that I can improve greatly in many areas. So I'm digging in for the long haul and digging in for major organization and confrontation. And I'll take any of your questions, national spokesman, or go to the phone lines, however you want to handle it. But I love everybody out there, and let's roll.
Yes, sir. We do have a call on the line, 610-802. You're on the air with the national chairman, Black Power. You're on the air. Your mic is open. Your question or comment. All right, let's keep on moving.
You know, it may be better off of you because you seem like you probably got the best questions out of anybody. You got your hands on so much here. So I'll take a few from you, and then those that want to ask questions, they can ask in. But I'll probably be better off serving tonight to take questions from you because you are the man with your pulse on so much. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I'm going to ask the questions, black man. I'm coming to you.
Oh, yes, sir. My mic was muted.
No, it's all right.
Okay, Black Power, Brother Chairman. Just want to know first and foremost, with this Black Power movement, how can we get the Black Power movement moving at a quicker pace and a faster pace in our cities?
Well, we have to believe, number one. You have to believe and you have to have the talent to do it. When I say believe, you have to believe in your leadership and in the guidance that the leadership is giving you so that you won't waste time. See, because some of y'all out there wasting time and you're wasting paper, wasting flyers, wasting your vocal cords, you're wasting time out there. I'm giving you expert advice. I'm talking to those organizers out there. I'm giving you expert advice that is qualified by decades of experience to tell you how to move this thing forward and get the job done. And so we have to have belief and we have to have faith and we have to move out on instructions. And we have to remove doubt and cynicism, remove laziness, weakness, remove disorganization and discombobulation from our lives. So, you know, this is when we talk about building a Black Power movement, we're asking leadership within our party to stand up in front of the entire black community. Or stand up in front of key leaders and activists in our community and say that I am here and I am capable of standing before you, maybe not as your leader, but in leadership, and I'm capable of handling such assignment. Now, everybody ain't capable of that. Some people need to be struck off the list right away. If you're not capable of standing up and if you're not capable of in a room, if you have the local leadership, let's say, of the Nation of Islam, like we did in Jacksonville, three or four pastors in the same room, other activists that are key in their causes, other brothers and sisters serving the community, other just young radicals and revolutionaries in there. You can't sit in front of 20 or 30 or sit with in a circle 20 or 30 of those that really want action in their community. And trust me, they want action and they want organizing. And if you can't handle that and move that process, then you can't be a part of the Black Power movement. You may have to go back and try to work on the new Black Panther Party. But at this stage of the development of 2011, if you're still trying to master three or four, five brothers and sisters in the Panther Party and still trying to function on that level and still can't do that, then you might need to seek another line of work. This may not be for you. But the Black Power Movement is the capacity to call, again, leaders and organizers in our community together in a local organizing committee and get them moving towards a common objective locally, which we are hooking up nationally and internationally to produce a national and international Black Power Movement, again, which is the basis of a revolution that will break out as soon as we begin moving the dissatisfied in a way that only we can move them if we move in the right direction. Brother James Muhammad is a good example in Jacksonville. And so I don't have to worry about that. And I don't have to worry about Minister Mikhail Muhammad because they are seasoned fighters. They're known in their area. They're respected in their area. And now they have a series of meetings, maneuvers, demonstrations, protests, actions that are taking place, and the people are getting with them and even behind them. And so you have to want to build a Black Power Movement. You have to want to. You have to have the credibility and the capability to lead and to organize Black people. And you have to be ready yourself in your own life to stand up in front of the people and they not laugh you off the rostrum or run you out of there because you don't know what you're doing. So, you know, if you want Black Power and a Black United Front, then you can do this. I'm willing to give you the advice. I'm willing to help you. I'm willing even to come to these cities. I'm coming to these cities at a loss. I'm going in on losses, hundreds of dollars in losses and plane fare and hotels, just out of my love for Black people, just out of my love for the people. Something that, and as much as Khalid Muhammad loved our people, and he sure gave his entire life for our people, I've even been in the position to do things that Khalid Muhammad wouldn't accept and wouldn't do just to try to get you up and going. And all I ask you to do is follow the instructions and be credible. So those are some of the basics, some of the foundations of that which we can do. And so I see potential in Jacksonville. I'm sending Minister Akbar Bilal back to Atlanta to get Atlanta straight. We had over 100 or so that wanted to join the movement there. And one thing I hate is not following up. That's why I get mad and get away from people that make me mad. Because I hate telling people something and not making my word bond. It bothers me. Now, there are some of you out there that you can say anything and you just don't do it. It don't even bother you. That ain't me. So anyway, I'm working on getting Atlanta back right, and there are many in Atlanta that are listening that want to be right, and we're going to get right so that we can move this process forward strongly because the people want a movement. I see New York should have great potential, and I'm willing to say better have great potential with so much on the plate. And so I'm hoping that the Black Power move, and I'm hoping Yon Obad will get up and move fast and do what they need to do. You know, when you got support, you got backing. I got credibility in many of these cities. Those, if they know that I, the student of Khalid Abdul Muhammad, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, is behind something, they will get with it. But I need y'all really to catch up to me, really. Many of y'all out there, you got to catch up. You don't really have to worry about Newark, New Jersey, because even though they're not specifically operating under the banner of a Black Power movement, all the evidence is clear that they're building a Black United Front and a Black Power movement. They are doing their job. I don't have to worry about Minister Zaid Muhammad and Bashir Akinyele and Sharif and Keisha. They're handling their business in the anti-violence front and many other fronts, and they have the whole city behind them. Radio stations behind them, and have as a core base a strong Panther Party. We don't have to worry about them in that city. And so those are my basic thoughts on that subject, brother. I'll take another question.
Yes, sir. You made mention of the situation in Egypt with President Mubarak. What does that mean for us in the movement and the new Black Panther Party?
It means that revolution is not only thinkable, but it's possible. It means that building a political mass movement and organizing and educating the people and many things that even we have been criticized for and I've been criticized for, demonstrations and protests, all of that can work towards overthrowing governments and bringing tyrants and rulers down. And so it's human possibility, revolutionary possibility. And the masses of the people, when organized right and educated right in their dissatisfied state, when they rise up, they can topple governments. Mubarak is a tyrant. Mubarak is a despot. And he has been the number one flunky and Tom of the United States of America for over 30 years. But the United States of America, oh, Uncle Sam, he don't buy Toms, he just rents them. And when it looked like the people have turned on the Tom, they will leave the Tom hanging out there to dry, as they are trying to stay with the tide of the people because they know he is as good as gone. And so I love it. I love what's happening in Egypt. I love the Muslim Brotherhood. I love all of those that are dedicated to revolution and complete constructive change and the throwing out of despots and tyrants and those who suck the blood of the people. And I pray to God Almighty Allah that that revolution will spread from the Cape to Cairo, or from the Cairo to the Cape, meaning Cape Town, South Africa. I'm praying that every buck dancing, boot licking, blood sucking, mineral taking, despot and tyrant in Africa will be overthrown from their offices. If your name ain't Mugabe, if your name ain't Gaddafi, if your name ain't Ahmed Jammeh of the Gambia, or maybe Zuma in South Africa, you better look out. I pray that the masses of African people take to the streets, even if they ain't got guns. Take to the streets. Rise up. Risk your life. Take on these niggas that have raped our people and been the whores of America, the whores of France, the whores of Britain, have taken the money and sucked the blood of the people and put all these millions in Swiss banks and left the masses of our people in poverty. Rise up on these niggas in Africa, just like they're doing in Egypt, and create a revolution that will overthrow every Uncle Tom African government and put leadership in place that love the people and will use the land, the resources, and the minerals for the benefit of the people. Revolution is not only thinkable and theoretical, it is absolutely possible. And so I'm predicting that all over the earth they're going to rise up. All in Asia they're going to rise up against tyrants and blood-sucking despots. Whether they are white or black or brown or yellow, take these bastards down. But you can't take them down unless you build a movement. You can't take them down with a little militia. If in Egypt they just would have had maybe 100, 200, 500, maybe 1,000-man militia, they wouldn't have been strong enough to take on the Egyptian army with all them damn tanks. You got to have a militia, but you got to have a movement. You got to have a movement. That means you got to have political education, political influence. You got to organize. You got to strategize. You got to have the right tactics. You got to be able to fertilize the soil of the people. And so somebody's got to do this in the hells of North America. And I'm looking for those ones. So Egypt can be a great sign and a great example, and many will rise up. And the question is, what will we do here in this modern Egypt with these modern tyrants over our head? We'll see. I'm going to do my job, and I hope that you all will do yours. I take the next question.
Yes, sir. Why do you think it is, Brother Chairman, that so many have abandoned the black nationalist position or the pro-black position?
It's a hard road to toe. All this black talk, black objectives, defining, defending, and developing that which is in the best interest of the black community. Many abandoned it because they didn't ever believe in it in the first place. It's not a fashion show. We wearing Carl Kanai 1 year, Polo the next, North Face the next. That's not how it goes when it comes to this. We're talking about the lives of our people and the future of our people and what our ideological position is. It's easy to be civil rights. It's acceptable. The white man will accept you as a civil rights leader. He will accept you. He can join you. He can integrate with you. He'll put you on CNN. He'll go easy on you on Fox. He'll give you some play, give you some rhythm, probably give you some money. So black power is not easy to put across. The people love it, but you have to put that agenda across. And it could bring you into confrontation with the police, bring you into confrontation with the white power structure, bring you into confrontation. You know, but it's an apathetic time in general. Many people have abandoned activism altogether, whether it's civil rights or black power. They just don't want to do nothing. Some niggas just don't want to do nothing. And I'm not one of those ones. I'm going to fight, as Lorraine Hansberry said, on every front. I'm going to fight on the political front. I'm fighting right now on the legal front, and I'm going to kick, by God's grace, plenty of legal ass this year. I'm going to be nailing police departments, nailing cracker corporations, nailing all of those that are abusing our people. The attorney Shabazz will be on the set by God's grace this year. And so we have to be the ones in America, Brother Sean, that show them that revolution is possible. We have to do a better job at leading this thing, because many don't want to. We're like dinosaurs to an extent. Don't nobody really want to hold this position. They say it has played out since the 60s and the 70s or the 90s, all of this black talk. But far as I'm concerned, there's so much black work to do. That's all we should be talking about is black. Mentoring black youth, raising up a black army, fighting these damn police departments, crooked county officials, city officials. There's so much work to do for black. We could do it for the next 1,000 years. And so I don't know what they're doing, Sean. I don't know why they're abandoning it, but I'm not going to abandon it. I'm going to keep trying to do it better and better. I'll keep trying to strategize and be flexible to try to put the agenda across. But I believe that if we are steadfast, we'll win. And I know this for a fact. If y'all will listen to what I'm telling you, because what I'm telling you is not coming from me, and it's not just coming from Khalid Muhammad. It's coming from all of the ancestors you say you respect. I'm trying to put their program across with you and through you if you will help what we're doing. We can do it. Stop hollering about the ancestors and Malcolm, Elijah, and Garvey, and Huey when you got a chance to do it right now, and we're giving you that chance. So we'll see. We'll see what we'll say, Brother Sean, when we can, if we can say, well, why have some abandoned the black power position? Let's see if we can uphold the black power position. Let's see how strong we uphold it. I'm talking about the Panther Party and the Black Power movement on this phone, on these radio. Let's see how strong we can push it so we can say that others should believe in it. Because if we can push it and build it and mobilize right, we give others just cause to follow it and join it. But hell, if we can't do it and we're supposed to be the vanguard, well, ain't no hope for nobody else. They might as well let it go too. If the red, black, and green, black boot stomping, black beret people can't get it together, well, hell, what choice does anybody else have? So we'll see. I take the next question.
Yes, sir. Oh, and we do have some calls.
We can go to the phone line. Oh, let me, yeah, while we do that, let me plug this phone in. All right. Come on with it.
All right. 410-664. You're on the air with the National Chairman, New Black Panther Party. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Hey, good evening, brothers. How are you?
Fine, sir.
I'm the one that wrote in the chat and asked you, what has the Black Panther Party learned or is doing different than the Black Panther Party? And I asked that for a reason. I don't want you to take my question as an attack, but as an observation. You know, so here's something I want to share, and then if you will address. The original Black Panther Party had a life of 10 years, 1966 to about 1976. It was very tumultuous years. You know, the organization grew, came under severe attack, hence counterintelligence program on the part of the U.S. government, came under attack from the federal government, state government, local government. And when we look at the, you know, the Panther Party, one of the observations that I make about that with some of the things that it did, I mean, there are good things that the Panther Party did, but they simply made a lot of errors. Some things that we get to look back to sort of like Monday morning quarterbacking. And one of the things is, if are you familiar with the revolutionary and scholar C.L.R. James?
Much respect for him.
Okay, great. And you're familiar with Walter Rodney?
Nothing but respect for Walter Rodney.
Okay. So let me share this. The great C.L.R. James made an observation of the great Walter Rodney, and that is that Walter Rodney, when he returned home from Guyana, from Tanzania, he got involved in the politics of the country at the time. And went up against Burham, the corrupt government led by Burham. Burham managed to infiltrate his organization and managed to sell Walter Rodney a bomb disguised as a radio. The observation that C.L.R. James made was, he said that Walter Rodney had no business being in the position that he was in. He said when he came home, he said what he should have been doing as a leader is, he should have been in the work of building a power base and galvanizing the people, organizing the people, rather than going up against a government for which he did not have an army. And he pointed out, he said, what he should have been doing was in galvanizing and building and galvanizing the people and organizing the people, allowing the people themselves to fight the enemy based on the contradictions that existed within the country. Consequently, not having a power base made him vulnerable for attack. Now, I point this out because that same criticism is valid for the original Black Panther Party. It was valid for the Organization of African Unity under Honorable Malcolm X. And what I'm looking at is, I'm looking at something that is occurring with the new Black Panther Party. It's a similar thing that's occurring wherein, and I'm saying this is not as an attack, but as an observation. This is why I'm asking you, what have you learned differently? Like, if you looked at that party to understand some of the areas where it was vulnerable, some of the areas where it failed, some of the areas where they made errors. And here's my observation. Some of the same attacks that the Panther Party, the original Panther Party, suffered, so are you suffering right now, divide and conquer. Attacks against, you know, various members of your organization, forcing you into courts, you know, redirecting your attention to having to deal with the white establishment by fighting in the courts and all. Also, one of the things that I observe, and I don't apologize for being long-winded, one of the things that I observe, and I'm writing, I'm an organizer. I've been an activist and organizer since I was 17 years old. I'm 53. I spent probably 365 days not being politically active. It's one of the things that I observe is that as a black power advocate, a black nationalist and a Pan-Africanist, I've been, you know, I'm that, these descriptions do not define a people. They're an ideology. Harold Cruz in The Crisis of the Negro Intellectual pointed this out very clearly, and that in this respect, we're around ideology. The original Panther Party managed, for example, to recruit the youth into their movement, but they failed to recruit the household. What I mean is the older people in the household didn't join the Panther Party. The youth did. The children didn't join the Panther Party because they were too young to be a part of the Panther Party. Consequently, in many respects, the Panther Party actually existed on the fringe of the black community, irrespective of how popular they are seen now, but they really were on the fringe. Consequently, when they came under attack, they really didn't have the community resources and the community behind them to help them. In contrast, the Nation of Islam, which was around at the same time, actually survived a bit better than the Panther Party did. And one of the reasons it did was is that the Nation of Islam, with its pseudo, under its pseudo, what I'm calling a pseudo cultural fabric, managed to organize the household. That is, everyone in the household was considered to be a black Muslim, from the adults on down to the children. Hence, the Nation of Islam managed to organize families, and those families were able to support each other against, you know, the attacks that occurred. This is something different. And also, the Nation of Islam failed to organize communities. Now, it did organize members of its mosque across the country, but it failed to organize those folks in the mosque in communities, in a sense of, like, you know, we have Jewish communities, you have Asian communities, you have Greek communities, and that did not materialize. What you are doing now, as I observe, seems to be some of the same errors. So what I'm trying to get, what I'm getting at is what have you learned with respect to organizing the communities, understanding that it isn't just the soldiers that we need. We need households to be organized.
Well, let me answer your question. Let me answer your question. What's your name, brother?
Peru.
What's
Peru,
your name?
Peru.
Yeah. What city are you in?
I'm in Baltimore.
In Baltimore. Well, I appreciate you, number one. I appreciate your research and your analysis. I don't know if I agree on every point, but I think there's a lot of wisdom and research in your analysis, even to the point where I would like you to even contact Minister Sean here, and perhaps you'd be a guest in one of our segments on one of our nights on our show. And let me say this. Maybe I think you missed some of what I've been saying here, because the subject that I've really been dealing with, what I'm struggling around here tonight on the phone or explaining on the telephone here, answers much of your question, because the way I'm going about trying to organize with the new Black Panther Party and to organize the Black Power movement is designed to defeat, designed to address the deficiencies that have come across through history. It's difficult for me to criticize Walter Rodney in hindsight, or to even criticize the Nation of Islam or Comrade Huey P. Newton or the others in the Black Panther Party for the shortcomings they may have had when they were doing this at a time when it was fresh and new and things were just coming across to them as young men and young women. They didn't have the advantage in the Black Panther Party of looking back at the previous Black Panther Party. The Nation of Islam didn't have the advantage of looking back at the previous Nation of Islam. And so Walter Rodney probably, I'm sure, didn't have other examples of movement and struggle in his country to look back on. I'm sure that what you're saying is correct. Probably if the brilliant writer and author, Walter Rodney, have had the chance to look back on it now and to organize him a mass movement, which still would have brought him into conflict with the power structure now, that perhaps he would have done it a different way. But either one of those ways, brother, he still would have probably got that bomb and that radio. In the Black Panther Party, now I do have to agree with you to an extent that they were on the fringes, though they were popular in the black community. Their method of organizing in a way, well, it had a couple of shortcomings. Number one, it was very dogmatic, meaning that if you didn't specifically agree with their line, whichever line they were carrying on whatever particular year, went from black nationalism to revolutionary black nationalism, then it went into socialism, communism, Trotskyism, what they call intercommunalism. If you weren't carrying their line and agree with the way they went about it, they were not very flexible. And they, even in their newspapers, attacked other elements in the black, other ideologies and organizations in the black community, to me, unnecessarily. And so if the question is asked, what are we doing different than that, I can tell you what I'm trying to do and doing different than that, and trying to bring the Panther Party along further to do different than that, is number one, our ideology does not go all over the map like that. And certainly it's focused on the black community. And we ain't going to attack nobody black so we can appease some white folks we may be aligned with. Now, we ain't doing that. We are dedicated to black power and the principles of black power. Now, our challenge is how to get that across to a broader mass, so we're not just have, as you say, some soldiers facing attacks from Congress, facing attacks from the white man, attempting to isolate us. These are all the tactics that are going on against the new Black Panther Party, and they will be successful if we don't avoid the trap. And so I have always been, my dear brother, a man of the masses of black people, committed to ideology of black power and black nationalism. But like Minister Malcolm X, I mean, even on another level, at his best of times, Minister Louis Farrakhan, or even around the times of the Million Youth March, in his best of days, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, strategizing and organizing to put our program across to the masses, to win over the black community at large, to win over and to be respectful and courteous to various key segments of the black community and of black leadership, so that when we come under attack, that we're not just isolated, we have the support of the masses of the people. So everything I do, dear brother, even the way I may dress, approach a speech, approach a controversy, any way that I may even approach the voter intimidation controversy, it be designed to put the Panther Party, certainly myself, hopefully the Panther Party, in a position where we can be embraced and followed and have the support of the masses, or certainly a broader mass of our people. And so it takes skill, it takes common sense, it takes a sincere love for the people. And so I'm going in that way, dear brother. I'm on that path right now. Again, I just came from Jacksonville, Florida. And in Jacksonville, Florida, where we're building a Black Power movement, in Florida, we have the support of, again, Black preachers, Black Muslims, Black mothers, Black grandmothers, Black youth, all of that which make up what we call the Black nation. Since we say all power to the people, that means we should be trying to empower as many people as we can, you know, and so... And we have this going on in other areas. I have a coalition in Atlanta, if I can get it going right. A coalition of Black people from all walks of life who throw their fists up, say Black. But now my challenge is, sir, is to find the best of organizers out here in the Panther Party that can get that job done. Because, again, we're going to waste time here. I mean, we do have to have a militia. We have to have an army. We have to have all of that which makes up the foundation of a nation. But I have to be honest with you, to have a militia, a Black militia spread all across the country of 200 or 300, that's not going to win the job here. Those 200 or 300 or those kind of militias in Egypt, they secure marches, and they get out there with them rocks, and they fight them other Uncle Toms that Mubarak and them got attacking the demonstrations. They get out there and fight them back while the masses of the people are moving. So there's definitely a role for militia, don't get me wrong. I'm 100% dedicated to building a mass Black movement, and even though it may seem sometimes that I'm trapped, I believe that my day will come. And I work with you, brother. I work with anybody Black that believe in Black power. If you can't come in the Panther Party, I'll find a way to work with you. But we got to get the job done. I'm like a Garvey man on that. I like the way Garvey organized on that. So I hear you, Black man, and I'm moving as fast as I can in that direction. But I bear witness that it is not easy. Come on back on the radio when you want to, sir. Call 50, text 502-299-8530. Text 502-299-8530. Have a discussion with our national spokesman. We'd love to have you, and some of your research is good. I'd like to work with you also. And so he'll put you in touch with me, and you right in Baltimore. Maybe we'll sit down and talk some Black talk. There's some work to be done in this region. You go on to some more questions, and then I'm going to come on off of here.
All right. 716-602, you're on the air with the National Chairman of Black Panther Party, Black Power.
Black Power. This is Charlene from Buffalo, New York. It's a pleasure hearing your voice, National Chairperson.
Thank you, Sister Charlene. Thank you.
Yes. I did have a question. I was wondering, what is your thoughts as far as the violence that is going on in the Black community, and how do you think that us as a new Black Panther Party can make a difference in, kind of combating some of that?
I think that violence is a serious problem. I think it's one of our most serious problems. I think that it is a problem that can be solved. And I think that the new Black Panther Party can make great strides in solving that problem if it does its job properly. Now, just for statistical reasons, to give you some statistics, in Los Angeles, California, in the year of 1992, at the height of the killing there, where I'm from, my hometown, Los Angeles, California, In 1992, there were around 1,100 murders in L.A. County.
Wow.
Much of this was due to biological chemical warfare, the explosion of crack cocaine, and the that lethal combination mixed with Bloods and Crips and all of the conspiracy and madness that goes with that. And so there were 1,100 murders there in 1992. Now, my sister, today, in the end of the year 2010, there were just around 287 murders in Los Angeles County. The lowest level of murders in the county since before 1967, since before really the rise of the Panther Party in Los Angeles as a strong force. Then in New York City today, we have a scenario where violence and killing, and even what they call violent crime, is at the lowest level since the late 60s. And so what I say to you, I give you those statistics so that we have what we call hope, optimism, and that if we continue, because there have been some good work done, there's several reasons, there's a couple of key reasons for that. One is the work that the enemy has done, and another is the work that we have done. I'm talking about we in the community that work those problems. So I wanted, in that sense, thank those that don't get a lot of recognition. I want to thank those in organizations, mentors, some nonprofit organizations, counselors, therapists, as well as activists and black nationalists, and those that have been out there preaching against the violence, organizing against the violence, just like they're doing in Newark, the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition. That work has been done in different levels, some out of sight and in obscurity, but that work has been done. One-on-one work, family work. Black men have stood up and done a better job since the Million Man March, have brought those rates down. And so what I say, sister, is that that work, all work towards ending the violence, pays off, whether it's in the Panther Party or not. If you can go out here and reach one youth to mentor, if you can reach five, if you can reach 10, and get into their lives and make a difference in their lives, you can make a difference.
Right.
And so where the new Black Panther Party, I'm going to let you come back in a minute. In the new Black Panther Party, where we can make a quick, fast difference, a stronger difference, is by using our influence, our notoriety in the community to organize programs. Now, that's one thing that we need to take what the Panther Party did and absolutely lock in on it and do even better, which is organizing programs for the people so that the people can see that the black male mentoring program, the young sisters mentoring program, is occurring under the leadership of the Panther Party or the Black Power movement every week, need to be every day, and that the youth and the people have a place to come where they can be what? Educated, inspired, counseled, go through therapy, and that we can begin making difference in the lives of the people. Now, and others are going much further than that, because I'm here to tell you, just giving a message to black youth and saying stop the killing is not going to be sufficient. You got to have ways and abilities and even resources to get after these kids' lives. You got to follow them home. You got to deal with broken homes, broken families, crack cocaine, kids 16 years old reading on a third and a fourth grade level. You know, many of them I've had under my watch and under my care, and I've dealt with some of the hardest juvenile delinquents in Washington, D.C., personally, right out of the court system, personally. And so we have to have programs, sister. We have to have commitment. We have to have something that we can, we have to have something in place to help our people, you know. And I'm willing to say if you can't get it done through the Panther Party, you can get it done through many other ways. Now, the white man is going to get it done. This is how he has helped reduce the violence. He have locked everybody up. He have given long mandatory minimum sentences. He has cut out options for community sentences and community options, and he has his result, his way of doing it is to be one of the winds that blew on the people, according to Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, to just blow a harsh wind on the people and lock everybody up. And certainly that has had an effect on bringing it down as well. But there is hope, sister. The Panther Party should be doing much, much more to work amongst the youth and to establish programs to stop the violence.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm very interested in doing that, you know, and I'm just starting out in a new Black Panther Party, but I really want to make a difference.
You can make a difference.
Heart, and it's something that I feel like I must do, okay, but I really want to be equipped in doing it. So me, you know, just starting out in a new Black Panther Party and going through the classes, okay, what do you suggest I do to begin that? I mean, I know that we can begin handing out flyers, okay, but,
well,
you
got to have a program. You got to have a program. If you, Let me ask you a question. If you had one program that you would put out in the public for the people, that you would pass a flyer out for, what would be your program for the people? If it was stopping the violence, what would it be? What would it be? How often would it meet? What would its goals and objectives be?
Okay.
Tell
me. Okay. Well, first of all, okay, I would meet once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, for right now, okay, far as stopping the violence, what would I do? I mean, you know, well, like you said, you have to educate. That's one thing that is needed, okay? You know, letting our children know that, you know, it's a better way. Okay.
Well, hold on, let me ask you a question. Your program is once a week. Tell me what's going to happen. Tell me at your program, let's say it's 11 a.m. on Saturday. Tell me how that program going to run when I bring my 15-year-old there. Tell me what's going to happen when I come to your program on Saturday.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I'll speak about violence. Okay, I'll speak about, you know, violence in the community, how it's, you know, what's happening in the community and how it's, you know, it's not good, you know, what's going on. Okay, and I can speak on different options that, you know, that are better, you know, than, you know, what is happening, okay? I may have some speakers that may come and, you know, speak about, you know, somebody from the police department come, okay, and speak about,
now hold 1 second.
You know,
now hold 1 second. Hold 1 second, sister.
Okay. So that's a bad
as much
idea.
As I'm with you, no, you cannot. Now I'm your brother. I love you, sister. But
okay,
you cannot have no police department come out to anything that we do. And not just that's all right. It's these are times. We could talk privately, but it's good for others to hear. You got the right idea when you had other speakers. But
okay,
you got the
right,
wrong,
okay,
but just leave
okay,
that
well,
speaker
I had the,
out.
I had the wrong speaker. I had the wrong speaker. So maybe I'll have maybe a counselor come out, or maybe an activist come out, you know, that works in the community. I mean, in Buffalo, okay, we have Stop the Violence Coalition. So I can have somebody from the Stop the Violence Coalition come out and speak.
Okay,
mm-hmm. we have the Southern Christian Leadership Council. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I can have them come in and speak and talk about, you know, how they can help in issues that, you know, someone, you know, like what the Southern Christian Leadership Conference do, is they help with different problems that you may have, you know, in a community, as far as, you know, they'll give you support. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, I maybe have, you know, an activist come out from the SCLC. You know, I think I would have different, like, support, you know, support people come out, you know, activists that can support,
makes sense.
You know,
makes
what
sense.
The 15-year-old, you know, may need, you know, to take care of his
makes
needs.
Sense.
I mean, I'm hoping, I mean, you put me on the spot. I'm the kind
that's
of
all
person
right.
that
but
I
want to put you on the spot. The reason why I want to put you on the spot is because these are the things that we should be doing already. We can't stay in class and process forever. We
well,
have
you know,
to begin
I, no,
help.
No,
we
I
have
don't
to.
Process.
We have to help our people.
Right, but you know what? Listen, I will help our people, but see, I'm the kind of person. I'm a planner. Okay, I don't just whatever I put in place, I want it to work. Okay,
that's right.
So whoever I would get, I want them to be effective. I don't want to
right.
get anybody that's going to just come and just speak and people are going to be listening. But you know what? Also, you got to let the 15-year-old speak. Listen
now
to his
talking.
Heart.
Now you think.
You know what I'm saying? What's going on in his heart? How he feel about things? What's going on at school? You know what I'm saying? What the peer pressure he's dealing with at school? What he's dealing with in the community? Just like just recently, a young man got arrested for having a gun in school. He's in high school. And they asked him, he was asked, why did he have the gun? And he said, I have to protect myself, okay, because, you know, what's going on where I live. You know, so you have to let them voice their opinion
right.
know, about what they're going through. You know what I'm saying? And you know what,
well,
I even thought about, I have a lot of different ideas. I even thought about, like, even a poetry session for maybe
you're thinking,
kids, young
you're
people
thinking, you're
to
thinking.
Be able to, yeah, to be able to express themselves. And I mean, the main thing is you can act off of whatever the person that you're trying to help say. So, at that meeting, I may not have what he need right then, but the next meeting, I will have what he needs.
Now you're talking.
And I will have more support services for him. And, you know, it may not even it hurt to maybe have some type of movie or something like that or some type of film that can talk about the violence in the community and different people that in other places in this movie that may speak about how they want to stop the violence. You know, I mean, it's a lot of different ways you can go with that.
Now, well,
I have
what
a lot
you,
of different ideas.
Well, now you're thinking. And now what you got to do is just to get focused so you can plan on when you will get started, and then you plan you out a 12 to 16-week agenda. And you get you a room, and all you need is a room, and you go from there. Get you a computer. You seem like you know a lot of people. Seem like your heart is in the right place. And I guarantee you, you run a program like that on a weekly basis, you will win over youth and parents. And the Panther Party will gain great respect where you are because they'll see what you're doing. One thing you cannot leave out, and even if you need help, you can get help. Our youth must have a knowledge of self. I don't know if the SCLC, I love them and work they do in our community, but I don't know if they can give us that. I don't know if this takes a special qualification to teach our youth a knowledge of self, meaning a give them the cultural component of what it really means to be black in the black community and to be able to teach them who they are as the original people of the planet Earth and to master the history, our history from antiquity all the way through the civil rights, the black power movement, and so forth. So as those youth go through the weeks of your program and class that we'll set up around the Black Panther Party and the Black Power Movement, that they will come out with a healthy knowledge of self and leave out of that class saying, I'm not only going to stop the violence because I might go to jail or I might be locked up in the prison industrial complex, but I'm going to stop the violence because I know who I am as a black person and as an African, and I'm not going to participate in destruction of the black community. I'm not going to help the enemy of our people who has put us at naught anymore. So a knowledge of self and a knowledge of the enemy has to also be taught, and that'll make it stick even stronger. You know, I was just out there like many of those on the edge of gangs and all of that until I learned the knowledge of self. And so you can do it, sister. Your mind is going in the right direction right now, and you should begin focusing on your agenda, your plan, and when you're going to open up.
See, that's
the main thing about being a Panther is how you can serve the people. If you serve the people right, you'll have plenty in the Panther Party. Most people go about it backwards. They want to say, come join me. Come join me first. If you
right.
serve the people will be begging to join you. Show what you can do for the people, and they will join you. Don't just tell them to join you. Then they get with you, and they be in there fussing and fighting because they ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
And you fuss and be 3-4 people talking about who the minister of the doorway. I'm the minister of the mop. I'm the minister of the doorway. No, go serve the people.
Right.
And I guarantee you, you will have more help. You will have the entire community, and you will have some warriors that will kill for you. So God bless you, sister. And if you need my advice, you just contact me. I will advise you through the process. You seem like you're listening.
Please.
Seem like
yeah,
you're
oh,
listening. If you'll listen, I will take time. I just get tired of taking time with people that don't listen. But if you'll listen, I'll take my time to help you, dear sister.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I need. That's what I need. And I would really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, you know, because I really do want to help and I really do want to make a difference.
Sister, you draft up your agenda for your program and how it will go down week by week, and you send it in to us through Sean Kwali. He will arrange it, and I will review your program and help tweak it and advise you. That's a once-a-week program. I've been a consultant, and people here bang my door down to help with their youth. I help with them every day. These kids need help every day. I mean, we can do once a week, that's good, but I'm telling you, they need attention every day. We need mentors and Black Panthers and people in the Black Power Movement that know how to make a noise in the East and strike in the West and knock on that school board, knock on the local high school door and get up in there. And even if they don't know you a Black Panther, you done got a hold of some of them youth, and you in there teaching them a knowledge of self, teaching them a knowledge of Africa, teaching them of how the slave master has divided and pitted us against each other and brought drugs and guns in the black community, and how that and teaching them so much that needs to be taught. You know, so you can have a once-a-week program, but we can also have Panthers that are assigned to do different work throughout the week by just going into the schools or going into the homes, like case managers. 6 o'clock, I'm going to see Brother Joe. 6:30, I'm going to see Lil Taekwon. 7 o'clock, I'm going to see. So it can be done. We just have to be willing to do it. And I'm certain, I'm sure enough capable of advising us on how to do it. It seems like you committed, so you will be successful. Just contact us, and we'll go forward. Okay, Queen?
Okay.
All right. We love you. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. You still on, my brother.
How much time do we have left?
We're looking at 5 minutes in the regular show with about a couple minutes of the after show. So.
All right. Well, this will be one of those rare times I stay on after to answer a few questions. I'd be up early in the morning. But I thank the brothers and sisters who are listening in the radio listening audience. Maybe I'll come back next week. I'll come back one more time next week, and then I'm going to stay focused on the work. So it's going to be a great year for us. It can be a year, but I'm not going to sell nobody no hype. Sit up here and tell you how great we are. Now, we got work to do. We got to get real humble right now, be willing to look at our defects, and man up and get out here and get this job done. You know, y'all need to get y'all personal lives straight so you can be an effective revolutionary. And no more joke time in the year 2011. And I guess that's about it, right?
We got a couple more calls, but Jim.
I mean, I'll take the calls even if we go off the air.
Okay. Unknown call, 111. You're on the air with the national chairman, New Black Panther Party, Black Power. 111, your mic is open, Black Power.
Black Power.
All right, go right ahead.
All right, we're on with you. Go ahead, Black Man.
Yeah.
You have a question? All right, we have to come back to you. If you have a question, put your hand back. We got to keep it moving.
Yeah, they got questions. We have to. Well, I know you know how to do it. Go ahead.
910-709, you're on the air with the national chairman, New Black Panther Party, Black Power.
It's Black Power. I'm Black Power, Brother Sean Black Power. You know, Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Black Power to you, sir.
Okay, Zulu, what's your take of right now, you know, involving the decline of the black bookstores, you know, going all over the nation right now, you know, because, you know, here in Durham, North Carolina, I don't know if you know of it, though, you know, Dr. Bruce Bridges, you know, lost his bookstore, you know, last year due to landlord wanting to redevelop it and put, you know, a plaza out there, basically. So what's your take of the decline of the black bookstores, you know, going out of business?
It's decline of books in general, sir. It's decline of people reading books. You know, with the onset of the internet and the computers and so much and electronic books, people are not buying books, period, that much anymore. People are not buying print newspapers. All the newspapers are in trouble. All of the everything that's on paper is in trouble. I'm from the old school. I love me a newspaper. I read all kind of papers, like Malcolm. I read black papers, and I damn sure read the devil's paper as often as I can. I read books. I love books. I just, when I reset my office up here and lined up all the books that I have and hardback and all of the great books, I just love it. But they're not this new generation, and the new generation is not necessarily like that. So people are not bum-rushing these bookstores because of the age of the internet. Also, people are not as into the knowledge as they used to be. And so when we used to fight for these hardback books and fight to get us our copy of Origin of Black Civilization by Sheikh Anta Diop and fight to get the classics, you can't show me where this new generation is fighting to get these classics. So no bookstore can stay in business just selling books. Some of them, like the House of Consciousness bookstore in Norfolk, have gotten, they mix it up a little bit. You know, they got food in there. They rent the place out to different organizations every day, and they got food or they got other things, videos and things that they're selling, and they're making their way to survive. You know, and so I guess that's the decline in the bookstores, man. It's hard times, you know. And the only real way, and You know, the only way people going to get really back in the books is if some revolution break out, some kind of revolution or movement break out where people want to go and get all that stuff and know about it. You know, so I love Dr. Bridges. I'm sorry that his bookstore shut down. But, you know, that's the way it is right now. That's just the way it is. I don't know what to do about it, but I'm looking, and I encourage everybody to get as many books as they can and support black bookstores. Support black bookstores, of course. I mean, I wish we were at that level where we could run campaigns to help and team up with the black bookstores. You know,